Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Free Spirits Healing Circle, where we will explore ways to let go of our fears to become free. Tonight, we are going to be talking about a couple of different topics. I'm going to propose one, and I'm going to put it out to the other members that are in the studio. And I see Sharon and Jean, and I've brought your mics live, and Kat is here too. I'm going to put it out in case anybody else has a topic they'd like to raise. But to start out, Kat has agreed to honor us with an opening meditation, and then we will begin to discuss topics. So, Kat, I turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. So if you can please close your eyes and take three deep breaths. And center your thoughts into your heart. And there in your heart is the face of something or someone you love. A plant, an animal, a human. Focus deeply on the face of whom you love. Breathe into that face. And breathe in and dive deeper into the feeling of love. And notice, as you dive deeper into that feeling, a smile slowly comes over your face. And when you get the smile, you know you've fully immersed yourself in your heart. And take that knowledge of your heart and imagine a beautiful golden white line going up from your heart into your third eye. And then up from your third eye and into the front of your skull. And then up into your crown. Breathe into that neural pathway as the knowledge of your heart runs up through your vagus nerves and into the front of your brain. And let it fill the center of your brain. And then let it run back down through your crown, your third eye, and down through your chest and back into your heart. And let's make a loop. Up from your heart, into your third eye, into your crown. Down from your crown to your third eye into your heart. And breathe through that three times. And know this pathway is set. And at any time, you can access the knowledge, guidance, and feeling of your heart.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I have, due to the joy of having a studio in the home, my dog is greeting everybody tonight. That shadow that you hear in the background. And I can't mute him, and I can't mute myself. So enjoy his happy bark for as long as he chooses to greet us. It's brought a smile to my face. And I'm going to put it out to folks that I would like to have a topic raised if there's one that anybody has. I have one based on some personal need. I'm just going through a rough patch here. And I'm dealing with some depression. So I would appreciate anybody's input around dealing with that. I certainly have some things I can say about that, having overcome that in my past. But I'm going to put that forward as the first topic. And does anybody else have a topic they would like to put forward?
Well,
hi, David.
Bring up. Go ahead, Sharon. I'm sorry.
We can do two more. Go
hey,
ahead.
David. The last time we were on together, we had left it that I wanted to, because we were in the middle of gratitude and I didn't want to change that energy. And we've been talking about fear. And
yes.
I would, because I'm personally experiencing. I think all my life I've been dealing with fear, and I've matured in how to manage myself through it, and I embraced manifestation and energy, working with energy for myself. I have a little 4-year-old grandson that I, when I leave in his mother's care. Care is an operative word. It's subjective to whoever is using that word or their value system. And I really sweat bullets. I really worry because based on things that have come to light about his care and when he's with her and that he's not neglected and that he's not put in unsafe situations, and he's only 4. And so that's a big fear that I deal with to the point where it can be almost immobilizing for myself. And so anyway, if it's not that with my 4-year-old, you know, it can be fear with something else, you know, something else will, the other shoe will drop and something else comes in, and then I have to, you know, talk myself through it and again, work with the energies and journal, whatever, release it. So anyway, that's what I would love to bring my personal experience.
Thank you, Sharon. I had that written down for last week, and I don't know if that's when you brought it up, or I don't remember if you were missing last week, but I did have that written down, and I apologize if I neglected
no,
to.
No, please don't. No. You're cool. You know, and maybe I was missing. Oh, gosh, see, it's a blur. I had my grandson for 2 weeks, and I was sleep-deprived, so my apologies. Feels like I was just here the other day with you guys.
Neither one of us.
I'm really glad that you brought that back. I'm sorry, David. I'm really glad that you brought that back up, Sharon, because fear is also going to blend nicely with David's subject of depression. Don't you agree, Kat and David?
Yes.
Yes, I was hoping that we'd get a subject that would match. Seems
can
like
I
we always
ask,
do
can
anyway.
Can I add? Yes, we do. Can we toss in there forgiveness?
Absolutely.
Only
yeah.
because we
I
need
was
to
hoping
forgive
for a third
ourselves.
Topic. That's great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I think we have 3 wonderful topics that are going to dovetail very nicely with each other. And is there anybody that's moved to share first?
Well, David, since my suggestion is, since you brought your topic up, I would support you in expressing what
you want to share with us.
Okay. I think I get where this is going. Go ahead. Do you want me to share first?
But if that's okay, if you feel all right about it.
If not, I could share first, too. Whatever you want, David.
Well, why don't I go? I usually don't go first, so this will be a novelty. I think that my depression actually, as it's manifested very rapidly, very suddenly, and has taken me by surprise, it's been motivated by fear of uncertainty, of change that feels uncomfortable to me, change that I'm not even sure is going to manifest, but I don't want to get into the personal dynamics of it. It's just that I am afraid, and it's taking me to a place, and I recognize that I've given some of my power away, and I think that's one of the things about depression, as I've experienced it in the past, is that I've become a victim to something that feels greater than myself, and I recognize or realize that the only thing that is greater than myself is faith and spirit, and that that's who my true self is. And I'm just talking myself along here as I go, because I don't want to go into a lot of personal dynamics other than to say that I experienced profound periods of depression in my past, clinical depression, suicidal depression, and I'm far from that. What I'm experiencing is a down. It's just that it came on so rapidly that it caught me by surprise. And I'm glad that you brought up the topic of fear, Sharon, because it's something that, as a human, I've had to deal with, and we all do from time to time. It feels very reptilian, it takes me to a place of survival mode, and I don't like being in that place. I aspire to rise above fear, and yet it's a very real facet of our human existence. And what I was hearing from you are certainly things that could motivate and perpetuate fear. And I want to say that even though I can't relate to the circumstances that you bring forward, I can relate to the underlying feeling and how debilitating that can be. Maintaining a sense of equilibrium, a sense of balance. And what I have found has been helpful has been to meditate, to pray, and to talk. And I think that talking, sometimes it's hard to meditate, sometimes it's hard to pray when I'm consumed with something like fear or depression. Actually, what happens, what is a knee-jerk reaction, is that I want to isolate, which only makes things worse. And I know enough not to do that anymore, and I don't do it. I find that talking with a friend, with a mentor, just talking is probably the best thing I can do, and I did do that for myself earlier today, and it really raised my level of vibration tremendously. And then there were some circumstances that occurred that have temporarily taken me into a darker place, and I know that this too shall pass. And so I think faith is a great antidote to fear. And forgiveness, oh my, that is so important, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Jean. I think that forgiveness starts with self. Before I can forgive anybody else, I need to forgive myself, or to remember that I'm an important part of the equation. In my past, I've forgotten how important it is to forgive myself. In any situation, there's no right or there's no wrong per se, as far as there's no good guy and there's no bad guy when it comes to acts that may require forgiveness. And it's a process. I have found, and this was an epiphany to me, that as I was saying, it needs to start with self. I really need to do some inner healing before I'm in a place to extend forgiveness to somebody else. And that was a real, as I said, it was an epiphany to me. And I've discovered that in order for me to be free of resentments, free to live a happy life, I must necessarily forgive. And it is, it goes along with the whole notion of love. How can I be loving or loving to anybody else or to myself if I hold any resentments, if I hold anything that's toxic in my heart? I need to let go of it, and forgiveness is the pathway, and it is a process, as I've said. And when the hurt is very deep, it takes a lot of work, and it's not something that happens overnight. I need to keep working at it and working at it and working at it, and gradually whatever feelings of antipathy that I have start to diminish, and they get smaller and smaller and smaller. And it is possible to totally let go of hurt and any feelings of resentment. So that's all I have to say. I feel like I'm meandering, and that's okay too, David. So who would like to speak next? Was it Jean that was piping up before?
I could pipe up. Oh, David?
Go ahead. Please do.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to start talking. I wanted to, until I made sure that I wasn't muted. I thank you for your sharing. I battled depression from my toddler days to my young adult days, to the point where I attempted suicide twice at the age of 4 and once at the age of 14. Now, until I could remove myself from my parents' house, because, you know, when you're living in a place where the energy is intense and constantly dramatic and explosive, it's very difficult to keep yourself in that peace place. I spent a lot of time as a teenager in the mountains, hanging out in the reservation, which was the first Native American reservation in the United States, which is very cool. But anyway, and that gave me a lot of serenity and peace during my teenage years. When I became an adult and learned various ways to help myself, the first thing was starting with forgiveness. And you know, at first when we think, you know, our first reactions usually are, well, why should I forgive them? They blah, 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 blah. But then when you think about, and I'm coming from like a third dimensional mindset right now, but then when you then step into the higher dimensions of thinking, you realize, you know, like as David said, you know, what was the part that I played in this that I needed to experience and learn? I don't know if I'm going too far off here, but during my times of when I was depressed. Once I learned healing techniques, I would use them constantly on myself and affirmations. And yeah, there would be a lot of fear that would come up as a result of those depression times. Because when you're depressed and in that space, it's very easy to not see the hope. And it's very easy not to see that something out there is that can support you. But once you do realize that, then for me, and as along with anyone, it's constant practice. And once we really are able to let go of all the fears that we've been programmed in this lifetime, and then add in the other lifetimes, okay? And now here we are trying to break free from the third dimensional realm into the fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional realms. And there's many of us, well, all of us, I can't speak for myself because I recently took care of this, but have time loops, three-dimensional time loops that are constantly repeating. And that will also hold us into that depression and hold us into fear and lack of forgiveness. So when we can address all bodies and all layers of our aura and all moments and lifetimes, and then really get into the addressing of the root, because whatever we experienced in this lifetime, and I've had to come to this knowledge through my learning and my teachings of like learning from other masters through my life, that these buttons get pushed in this lifetime, but they weren't originally placed here. So when we're working on forgiveness, I mean depression, we need to remember that for anyone who's listening to this show and these conversations, that, you know, the depression could stem from a 3D way that you are unconsciously aware of. So in that moment then, you can, you know, you go into the forgiveness because, you know, for not being aware of it, we forgive ourselves. You know, there's times when I say to Creator God, forgive me for my ignorance, because I did not consciously know that at that time. And then at that point, it's like, okay, now I need to forgive myself. Because certainly, if I knew that I was in a wonderful, amazing, loving, caring person during my depressed days, I wouldn't have given that power away to depression. And I would have been able to melt away that fear. So it does take practice. And I'm sorry for going on a tangent. So I'm going to stop.
Thank you, Jane. Anything else you wanted to add?
It's all love. It's all love. Whatever you were programmed, whatever you were told, it's all love.
Right. Perfect.
Right.
Sharon, did you want to go next?
I'm sorry. I put myself on mute so I don't cough.
I was looking at
my nose.
She's still there.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm here. I just didn't want to have allergies right now, and so I'm, you know, I think it's based on people's experiences, and I'll talk again from my personal experience. I've come a long way, baby, is what I tell myself, and being 66 to 67, but I'm not at the point where I can say, you know, I live at the top of the hill and I am the oracle. I still need, I'm embracing change. It's important to change. The other part about this is I lost my son, who's the father of my four-year-old grandson. He is the father of him. And I lost him 3 years ago. And that anniversary of when he got his angel wings was June 20th, 3 years. And the mother is not, you know, she's not blood kin to me. So we've had, you know, I've told her what I see, her lack of. She's got a litter of other kids, by other fathers. And she is a professional woman. She just became a professional woman. The bottom line is, though, they are nothing against being indigent. I mean, I was indigent when I was raising my boys. And she still embraces having, replacing, you know, if one of the fathers is going off to prison, you know, she'll embrace the idea of getting another father and having another baby. So, and in the course of all that, of my grandson's life of 4 years on the planet, he's just thoroughly neglected and put in unsafe situations. And I've, you know, pointed this out to her and tried to be a support. And we've gone through where she'll say, you know, you can't see him anymore. And then I have to try to talk to her and get her to agree to go see a therapist with me, and, you know, a therapist of her choice, and so we can talk it out. But it's still there, all the characteristics of what I see as far as my grandson being you know, neglected and those kinds of things that I've already mentioned. So, you know, I do have someone to talk to. I talked to a counselor about it. And, you know, the bottom line is I feel powerless, and I feel, you know, and what was pointed out to me is that we come into this planet signing a contract. We choose who our family members are going to be, who our caregivers are going to be, and what our life lessons are. And so that boils it down to a fine point of, I am powerless, and I can only be who I am when I'm with him and provide him, you know, with a safe, peaceful time with me and fun. We have a lot of fun together, he and I. And but it is a lot of fear that I experience. And yeah, I agree. Talking is important. It kind of lets it out. And, you know, I know I can contact authorities, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that route. It's not to that point. And so anyway, that's where that's at.
Is there anything else you wanted to
share? No. I learn a lot. You know, David, you share so in depth, and you share from such a deep personal what you're going through currently today so profoundly and with such integrity, you know, on talking about your depression and how you understand this and how you work on what you work on. And I do hold this dear to me, you know, from week to week. I apologize. I thought I was with my grandson for 2 weeks and I'm completely sleep deprived. I don't get sleep with him. And so I really thought I was here just this last week with you all.
You may have been, Sharon. I don't know.
No, I think that you mentioned it, I think I may have missed. No, I think I did miss. I probably did miss.
No need to worry or explain or whatever. I'm glad that you were able to bring your topic up today, and that's all that matters today is where it's at.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Moving on, Kat, what would you like to share, hon?
Yeah, depression's an interesting topic because there's all different sort of categories of depression. And a lot of people actually have circumstantial depression. So it's the circumstances of their life that cause them to have a feeling of hopelessness and a feeling of sadness. And it's like a helmet goes over your head and you can't think happy thoughts. And you get to a point where you just feel like you just don't want to be here anymore, because you become apathetic, and in that apathy, you can't see a way out. And then you can start having all sorts of funny thoughts around that time. And one of the things I learned was that anxiety and depression are often linked to unresolved anger. And so if you're experiencing anxiety and depression, if you sort of scratch the surface and look underneath it, you might find that there's a bit of anger there. And anger is a legitimate emotion, but if it's not dealt with, it can fester. And then in that festering, it can manifest as depression. And it will especially manifest as depression if you just cast it aside. And there's all sorts of reasons for casting it aside. You're a professional person, you don't have time to really unpack your feelings, why that's angered you. Maybe it was a chronic state of anger, you'd been around somebody for a lot of years who just constantly ticked you off, but, you know, you kept the peace. Maybe there were situations that were caused you anger, but it was inappropriate to express that anger because there were small or children or elderly people around. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why we don't express our anger. And so then I'm not an expert on anger management, but I do know that physical activity really, really helps. And so when you are experiencing depression, if you can go for a walk, that's really good. But if you can get a punching bag and smash that up every day, that's even better. If you physically can't punch a punching bag because the energy that goes from your fist into the bag then jolts your body, then punch the air. You know, like you got to get this anger out. You've got to get it out. You need to get a pillow and scream it out, drive up to a lookout when no one's around and have a good rant and a good yell and just keep getting it out. I know one person who went into a forest with a stick, asked a tree if she could flog it up. The tree said yes, and she beat the tree up until there was nothing left within her, and then she began to feel better. Now, I don't advocate beating up trees, by the way, but she had honoured the tree by asking it, and it took the sacrifice for her. But the fact is that you have a anger within you if you have depression. It goes hand in hand. That's the psychological evidence as far as I have been educated. So, you know, if I'm wrong, I'm open to someone telling me I'm wrong. But The process that I learned was anger, unresolved anger, becomes apathy, becomes depression and anxiety, becomes thoughts of suicide. So it is something you have to catch, because it is a slippery slope to not wanting to be here. And the thing is that decision, it cuts you off from the possibility of all those reasons for being sad finishing. And you don't know what's just around the corner, because good things happen to good people, and very often it's good people who feel depressed. Because your garden variety narcissist or psychopath, they don't care about other people, and they don't really care. They just don't have that ability to give a toss. So they tend not to get depressed, as far as I can tell from my education on them. They're not really people who get depressed the way that an empathic person would. So I'm sure that they have a deep unhappiness, but it's more like an emptiness because they don't know love. And that's a retardation in their brain that causes them to be unable to recognize faces and therefore recognize feelings in the way that they would see a face that's sad and then immediately begin to empathize. They don't recognize that, and they also just are, they're cut off from the true experience of love. So if they are depressed and sad, it's because they don't know love, and they're angry because they didn't get to use somebody the way they would have liked. So, but you're a good person, you're an empathic person, you're a person who works with their heart. You know, you've got to really think about dealing with your anger. You've got to really think about that. That's a number one. There's all sorts of reasons that a person can be angry, as I said, and fear comes into that as well. And I teach people that fear isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, if you see a snake and you go into fear, well, it's probably because of a bodily instinct that you don't want to get bitten. Or if it's a big snake, you don't want to get eaten. You know, like that's a good fear. And if you're crossing the road and you see a big truck and they're not stopping and you go into fear and you go into flight mode, well, you know, that was wise. That fear was wise. And it's built into us as an animal. It's an instinct. Where we go wrong is we allow that instinct to overtake our lives. And then we operate from a place of fear all the time. And often what happens is we get into that place because we've been struggling with a circumstance or a person or an issue that has kept us in that reptilian end of the brain where you are in fight, flight or freeze and you're actually in the egoic place of survival because fear is a survival mechanism. So when you experience fear, if it's a genuine fear, you know, like, oh, I stopped myself from crashing my car because I had a fear moment and it prevented me from doing that stupid thing, be happy, you know, like, be good body. Thank you, body. Thank you, fear, for stopping me from stuffing up and killing myself or others. But don't go into a place of, now I'm going to constantly relive that. And now I'm going to be there in that place all the time. If you can't help it because you're living with somebody who is aggressive and angry and has no care for your feelings and you're constantly in fear because you don't know if they're going to blow up again, that's a bit different, you know. And that can cause depression. That situation where you're working with somebody who keeps you on edge and you're in fear, or you're living with somebody who keeps you on edge and you're in fear, you have to stay in survival mode for quite a while. And you can get an overload of a hormonal response called cortisol, and that can really make life very difficult. You can put on weight on your tummy. You can not see the world clearly because you've got a brain fog. And there's a lot of physical attributes that go along with being in that permanent state. And so the answer is exercise. In everything to do with anxiety, depression, fear, get out on your bicycle, go for a walk, find a punching bag, get on a rowing machine, go for a swim. If you've got a dog, walk it. If you don't, adopt a dog, somebody else's dog, and walk that if you like dogs. Find a reason to get outside. Connect with nature because she's the great healer. Mother Gaia Sophia, she's the great healer. Go sit with her. Get into meditation. Stretch. Yoga is good because if you do it properly, you stretch first and you go into meditation second. It allows the release of the pent-up feelings that are locked in the waters in the cells, and therefore you excrete some of the chemical, you know, the lactic acid and whatever else is built up within the body, and you begin to feel easier, and it's much easier to go into a meditation if you've done some stretching and some yoga. Yoga means unity, so you don't have to go to a trendy, one of those trendy yoga places, you know, a center. An ashram to me is better, but make your own ashram. You just have to go outside into nature. That's an ashram. If it's too hot or it's too cold, sit by something that looks like nature, a pot plant, go into nature. So anxiety and depression, I've experienced it. I experienced circumstantial depression. I experienced suicidal depression. I think that I have had clinical depression in the past, and I went into a place where I decided to learn a little bit about it so I could understand it, because it is one of those problems that hits society. And I'll just finish this by saying, watch your own biorhythms, because biorhythms sometimes will indicate when you're going to have a low. So if you become aware of your biorhythms, men as well as women have biorhythms. Women have hormonal rhythms, of course. That's because we have the power of creation in us. So, you know, get over it if you're a guy and you can't stand that, you know. Move on. You're here because your mother had a hormonal rhythm. But we all have biorhythms, and that means we're all going to have up days and down days and mediocre days and fantastic, amazing days. So become aware of it and ask yourself, am I going through a biorhythm that is a little bit on the down slide? If so, it's self-nurturing time. It's time to go into more self-love. And then when you're in the up days, you can surf that. You know, you can really slide with that. You're still in self-love, but you're really sliding with it, and you're surfing it, and you're loving it. And it will make it easier when you go on the down slide again. That's just one of the laws of the universe, the ebb and the flow. So what do you think, David? Because, you know, you're a trained social worker, and so this would have been part of your education as well.
Well, it's one thing to have knowledge and another thing to deal with the situation. You know, and I can relate to that with different life issues. I really appreciate everything that you said. It speaks to me very much. I'll just say, as far as what I'm dealing with, it is basically circumstantial depression, but I liked what you had to say about anger. I do believe that depression is anger turned inward. And so that's something that I need to take a look at for myself. And, you know, I appreciate your reminding me of something that I do. I didn't do too much of today. That is exercise. I did go for a walk, and that helped my spirit tremendously. Perhaps that's something I need to do again this evening. But I appreciate what everybody has had to share. It comes from the heart. I know that all of us have experienced depressions, and the vast majority of people do experience that at some point in their life. And I think that's something that there may not be enough awareness of. It's a serious state of mind, and needs to be taken with the same kind of seriousness. So I'm just kind of rambling along here again. I don't know, Sharon, if there's anything you would like to share with what's been said that speaks to your topic.
Well, you know, David, I never find anything that you say is rambling. I find it very meaningful, so thank you. And what's been shared here is by all of us has been of value to me. And, you know, when Kat was talking about different ideas and techniques and methods, the physical movement, and I agree with what has been said here, that fear or depression, I mean, anger is definitely, I agree for myself that it's the underlying, it's there, you know, it's just there. And I'm not in touch with anger until maybe someone blindsides me at the post office, the letter carrier says something that I think is unreasonable, and then I blast off at him, you know, and later on I'm thinking, wow, where did that come from inside of me? Well, it's just underlying. And I, you know, being reminded of physical movement is important. I hold that it's very important for myself. And it's something that I really relish. I know how it's such a tonic for me when I get off my adult tricycle, you know, when I return home. I know that. I know the feeling of how it feels. It just feels a sense of release from, it's like a prior energy when I get on the tricycle, and then a different energy when I arrive at my destination. And that different energy is like a breath of fresh air. So that is something that I really hold as a reminder for myself, for sure. For sure. And that's about all I have to say.
Thanks, Sharon. Jean, you brought up the topic of forgiveness, and you spoke so eloquently on the other topics. Is there anything that you'd like to add to your share?
Regarding forgiveness, that the first thing is just, you know, coming to a place of forgiving ourselves, because we certainly would not have thought, spoken, behaved, reacted if we were in our sacred space, you know. So we got to begin with the forgiveness there. And then forgive, you know, anyone else who has harmed us. And it takes work and it takes practice. It doesn't happen overnight. And it's great and wonderful for people out there who have family or friends to help support them in a positive way. That's all I want to add.
Thanks, Jean. Does anybody else have a burning desire before we go to closing? Well, Jean has volunteered to honor us with a closing meditation. And so let me turn things over to you, Jean.
Thank you, David. And thank you, everyone. And thank you, everyone, for all us sharing. I'm grateful. If you could just take a moment, please, to just focus on your personal self. And since we've been talking about fear and forgiveness and depression, in our next breath, let's breathe in divine peace. And gently exhale divine peace into our heart chakra. Each gentle breath, as we breathe in pure divine peace and exhale divine peace into our heart. We don't have to think about it. We are just breathing and allowing this divine sacred peace to cascade over to all our chakras. Each gentle breath, exhaling divine peace into all our chakras. As we continue to breathe in divine peace, let's expand to the first layer closest to our body of our aura. Let's fill that first layer of our aura with divine peace with each breath. Breathing in divine peace, let's exhale into the second layer of our auric field. Breathing in divine peace, exhale into the third layer of your auric field. Now, since that's attached to the emotional aura of your chakra, let's take a second breath of divine peace into the third layer. Exhaling, filling the third layer of our aura with divine secret peace. Breathing in divine peace and exhale into the fourth layer of your auric field. Gentle divine peace with each inhale and exhale, filling with divine peace. Breathing in divine peace and exhaling into the fifth layer of your auric field. Each gentle breath, filling the fifth layer of your auric field with divine sacred peace. Breathe in divine peace and exhale into the sixth layer of your auric field. As divine sacred peace fills the sixth layer of your auric field, allow all illusions to release and allow with each breath reconnecting to your higher self, your divine connection through divine sacred peace. Breathing in divine peace, exhale into the seventh layer of your auric field. Each gentle breath, filling the seventh layer of your auric field with divine peace. Breathing in divine peace, and let's exhale peace into the palms of our hands, so that when we touch ourselves, food, another human being, or a plant or tree, we touch with peace. Breathe in divine peace. Exhale into your ears, so that when you hear yourself speak, you hear with peace. When you hear other humans speaking, you hear with peace. Breathe in divine peace and exhale into your eyes. Each gentle breath soothing and softening your eyes, softening your vision with divine peace, so that when you look in the mirror, you see yourself with peace, divine peace. You see others with divine peace. Breathing in divine peace, exhaling into your heart, cascading to all chakras, all layers of your auric field, all cells vibrating divine peace, all hair follicles vibrating divine peace. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jean. That was beautiful.
You're welcome, David. Thank you.
Very peaceful and relaxing. Thank you, everybody, for sharing tonight.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, with that said, I wish you all well.
God bless everyone.
All the people.
Mm-hmm. God bless everyone.
God bless everyone. Absolutely. I just wanted to remind people or let people know if I haven't done so already and to let the listening audience know that we're going to be moving our time forward to 8 p.m. Eastern time beginning next week. And so look for us again on Blog Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern time beginning July, I believe it's the 6th. So with that said, good night and God bless everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, Jane. Good night, Sharon and Kat.